This episode of Outspoken is brought to you by Esme Skin Minerals. This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Outspoken. Now, I'm happy to see you safe and well, Amy, after your camping trip.
Yeah, it actually went really well, better than I expected. And I think a lot of that was down to the fact that, as I mentioned in our last show, Dale bought a toilet along with us. And I must say, I was pretty impressed by this little toilet.
What freaked me out the most was the fact that you said there wasn't an enclosure around it. So it was just some random, like, kind of portable toilet just on the side of the tent there that, you know, you did your business in.
Well, the worst thing was Dale parked the toilet right near the tent, so we were joking that we'd have to sit and smell my piss all night, but it was contained.
Was there something kind of liberating about going in the middle of nowhere?
Well, there really weren't many people around, so at first I actually took my jacket to cover myself like a little blanket, and then by the end of it I was like, oh, whatever, if people are going to see me, they're going to see me.
Well, on the other side of Port Hughes was the Kathmandu gang, wasn't it, Sophie?
I'm sorry, but those jackets are so bloody nice that everyone owns them.
Yeah, so I'm sitting on the campsite and to my surprise, I had internet connection and I look on Instagram and there's a photo of Soph and her boyfriend and his family all on a boat with Kathmandu jackets. And I thought, I'm roughing it out here and you guys are on a boat with your Kathmandu just waiting for shit Adelaide to take a photo.
I wanted to send myself in at that stage.
You and Brandon's mum were literally wearing the same thing. Like, it was hard to tell you two apart. Is that something, is Brandon like dating his mum? Is that, you know, one of those things?
Oh, I don't know. You have to ask him.
All boys apparently date someone that are either so much like their mum or the total opposite. And I think you must be like Brandon's mum.
I've got to say, I was actually pretty happy sitting and watching your holidays unfold on Instagram and being in a nice warm house.
Well, yeah, you've got some pretty exciting news because you went to check out properties over the weekend.
Yeah, we spent the weekend checking out houses up in the hills. And I've got to say, I love going into people's houses and just having a look around. It's so interesting. And excitingly, we finally went to the bank to check out how much we can borrow because obviously it's sort of up in the air until you know. And we did get approved to borrow a certain amount that was actually higher than we thought.
That's so exciting.
I know. We had such low expectations before the meeting. We're like, now let's not get upset if it's, you know, we don't get approved or anything. So yeah, it was really exciting news this morning.
We are having a baby.
A baby. It
sounds so weird to say that.
I know, but I can't say I'm pregnant. I physically can't say it.
Over the weekend, Aussie YouTubers Chloe Zepp and Mitchell Orville welcomed their son Artist into the world. For the past week, followers have been on Baby Watch, constantly checking the pair's Insta stories and subscribing to notifications. In the influencer world, babies are big business, from the birthing vlog to their name reveal, we're left captivated. Now, Kate, for those who don't know, can you talk us through who Chloe and Mitchell actually are?
So these guys are basically the Instagram power couple. Everyone seems to love them. They seem to be connected to a lot of different influencers, but they still have that real appeal of being relatable, even though they're living in some mansion in Queensland. So Chloe first took off on Shani Grimmon's YouTube channel, actually, when she was 14, which is so crazy. And of course, Mitchell is the brains behind Angry Dad.
Well, it's pretty crazy because Chloe was only 16 when she moved over to Melbourne to start living with Mitchell. And I think the thing that's really resonated with followers is the fact they've always been so open about their relationship and sharing all of the highs and lows along the way.
Well, there was that Bali video, remember, they shared, and they admitted that they'd broken up a few times. And I think it was probably about 6 months before they announced Chloe's pregnancy, they actually revealed that they'd moved out from one another. So I feel like people are really loving Chloe and Mitch at the moment because they are just so raw and honest about everything.
I mean, even more recently as well, Mitchell's spoken about his drug addiction and how it affected their relationship. And I think people are just happy to finally see them on the right path and happy.
Mm. Now, I've got to say, I was so invested in this birth announcement. One of the girls at work, we were like messaging each other back and forth all the weekend, like wondering when it's going to happen, because of course she went into labor at 2 a.m. on Friday and didn't announce the birth of Artist until Sunday night.
Well, everyone's been waiting because the due date was, I think it was about a week ago. So I did notice everyone saying that they'd put on their notifications to see when Chloe and Mitch were posting.
Well, I found it interesting because the due date was actually the birth date of Chloe Zepp's app Bloom. So I was how amazing would it be if they were both born on the same day?
The app and the child.
Yeah.
And why do you think people have been so invested along the way?
I think it's got to be because they are relatable and people obviously feel like they know them and have that connection. And because we've been shared every update along the way, that it feels like, you know, we're a part of this journey of this child.
I also think because Chloe and Mitch, they did have that miscarriage as well. Mm. I think it was probably maybe 6 months before. I think everyone felt really invested in it and they just wanted to see them all do well. And I think because they have been honest about the struggles, I kind of think it's that underdog story where now everyone wants to see them flourish and do well with this baby.
Yeah, and I think because Chloe seemed to be the person that was sort of suffering during Mitch's time drinking and taking drugs. So it's sort of nice to see her get that fairy tale ending, I suppose.
Well, it also seems like I'm assuming that a lot of the changes in Mitchell's life has been because of this baby. So it seems like a really positive thing in their life. And it's going to be so interesting to watch them as they become new parents.
I think the thing that keeps us so invested is, though, we see their full journey. I mean, it's not like other celebrities or A-listers who we only just see the end result, the baby. We don't get to see any of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
It is a really big thing for influencers to have children because I feel like that's when their brand starts to morph and no longer will they do the same brand deals. Often they won't have as much time to create content. So the content that they do create would generally be based around, you know, being at home with the baby and it will be sponsored by a baby product.
Well, do you guys remember back in January when they announced that they were having a baby? There was that restaurant critic, John Lathlin, who called them out on the Instagram because basically their PR person had put out a request for freebies for the baby on this newsletter. And he was saying, he actually put this post up saying, "Hello, I'm nobody and I figure I can get something for free. So why not?"
Do you know the thing that's so ridiculous is the backstory of that is that their manager actually put it on a PR page called The Social Diary, which is where most PR people put up asking for collaboration. So it's just so ridiculous for him to talk about how irrelevant they are when their branding will add a lot to any sort of baby brand in Australia.
Well, Mitchell hit out at the time and he just labeled this guy as an online bully. And as you said, Sophie, it's so stupid because this is standard practice. And I would say you'd be hard pressed to find a baby brand that wouldn't want the exposure from Chloe and Mitchell.
Well, the thing is, it's a very niche market to get someone who is pregnant right in that window when you're wanting to bring out a new product or promote something new. And you've only got a small amount of time to make it happen because if you think about it, most women only announce they're pregnant perhaps 3 months into the pregnancy. So you've got 6 months to actually make the most of that influencer.
Well, what I found quite interesting watching the birthing process over Instagram over the last couple of days has been the fact that they were really quick to actually announce the name of the baby, Artis. And, you know, you saw Sarah's day when she was pregnant. She sort of made it into this huge announcement and she released Fox's name during a YouTube video. And I'm presuming because it got a shitload of views on it.
It got 1.3 million views.
Yeah. So that's about $20,000 she would have made off revealing the name of the baby, which I'm in two minds because I think, well, gosh, if I'd gone through a birthing process, I'd be like, that's pretty clever to release the name and make some money.
It's the modern day cover of a magazine, isn't it, now to wait to reveal your baby's name on YouTube.
Well, what do you guys think? Do you think that was the right decision for Chloe and Mitch to release the name on Instagram?
I think it was very them. It seemed very authentic. It seemed like we were sort of taken along for the journey and we connected with the baby being born. Like, I was so excited because I didn't think we would know until, as you said, a YouTube video.
And also the photos that they put up were just all very raw. Like, I've seen people post photos and it looks like they've, you know, just come out of hair and makeup and then they're holding a baby. Like, you could tell these photos were taken in the moment and they were gorgeous photos.
Well, going back to the name, it was interesting because they did seem to tease it throughout the whole pregnancy, which made people invested. But I like the fact that they revealed the name on Instagram now because I feel like they were just trying to get people excited with them. It wasn't just for clicks.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to be honest. Who thinks there's going to be a new Chloe Zepp line called Artis? Like the artist jumper or something like that.
It's definitely a marketable name and it's often what we see with influencers. They don't really go for John or Mary anymore. They're going for names that, you know, Fox Ocean. I mean, that is a brand in itself.
Well, you look at Tammy Hembro's daughter, Sasky, and that's, you know, the brand of her activewear line.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that Chloe and Mitch have gone out and said, what's going to be a good brand moving forward? But I do feel like there probably is some pressure when you're in that influencer space to call your kid something that's really exciting and new and that no one else has the name like that.
Do you think it's just part of being in this generation, though? I feel like a lot of people our age are coming up with unique names and aren't really sticking to traditional names.
I'd be shocked if an influencer just called their baby James or something like that.
Well, that's what Artist Middle's name was. But there was that craze where people were calling their babies like really old grandparent names.
Mm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Like Frank and Dale wants to call his child Frank, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he wants to,
but I don't know if that will be happening.
Well, going forward, I think it'll be really interesting to see what sort of social presence Artist has online. And Mitchell opened up about it on his podcast, and he said that he and Chloe had one rule, and it was that they wouldn't be making him a baby Instagram account.
Oh, thank goodness. I hate when people do that. It's weird.
Oh my gosh, I was listening to an episode of Call Her Daddy, and they have this constant theme where they'll pay out a baby account that someone set up, and Sophia will read it out in a baby voice. It is hilarious. She's like, I'm baby Alessa.
I feel like the only positive to having the baby account is that friends that don't want to see all the baby spam can follow the account.
That's true. That's what Insta stories are for, though.
Well, going back to this podcast, what I found the most interesting, though, was Reese's take on the scenario because, you know, obviously Tammy Hembro shares so much of her kids online and he seemed to be really against it.
Well, her whole following is based on her being a young mum. So it's kind of hard. Well, it's kind of interesting to hear him say that because he's now got this fame and fortune from the kids being put online.
But from what I've heard, I think he's worried about what psychological effects it will have documenting your kids the whole time. And I did really enjoy that debate between he and Mitchell because Mitchell was saying, well, what's the difference? My mum grew up with a video camcorder filming absolutely everything. And we were the same. Our dad filmed everything and we're fine. But I suppose
it wasn't being put out to anyone.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That no one else was seeing it, just the family. But it's a hard one. I mean, I suppose the only comparison you can draw to that is kids who've grown up in the public eye doing acting or singing. And it hasn't turned out well for some of those child stars.
I think a good comparison is looking at someone like Mason Disick, who has spent his whole life. I mean, his birth was shown on television across the world. And he's kind of appeared in the background of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And he most recently wanted to get a TikTok account and did so behind his mum's back. And then that all got shut down because he was telling Kylie Jenner secrets.
Well, I just think it's really unfair for people to build up an opinion of a child before they've even reached adulthood, because you think about how much you've changed and all the embarrassing shit you've done, and then to have it, you know, publicized to millions of people online.
The only thing is, though, when this kid is like 20, we're all going to be 50. And are we really going to be going, like, Instagram will be gone. There'll be something new.
But there'll always be that digital footprint, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine going to a job interview and then someone being able to look up your birth vlog?
Might work in your advantage. You know, it might not necessarily be a bad thing.
The thing is, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And at the moment, having that kind of currency and having followers at a young age is actually going to be a good thing. We just don't know what the psychological effect of that type of following is long term.
Now, just a quick break to hear from our sponsor.
Now, Amy, it's no secret that you've been obsessed with skincare since you came off the pill.
Yes, listeners will know I'm on a quest to avoid my skin breaking out from coming off the pill. And that's why I was so excited when I discovered Esme Skin Minerals. Their beautiful mineral products are not only made in Australia, but are vegan and cruelty-free.
I've got to say, I have been loving the uncomplicated cleanser. My face feels so fresh after using it.
One of my favourites would have to be their new anti-aging eye serum. It gets rid of puffiness and makes you look so refreshed.
Well, what I found particularly helpful was Esme's dedicated skin consult team. They can help you choose the products to best conquer your skin concerns. You can reach out to them via the website esme.com.au, and that's spelled esmi.com.au.
Try Esme Skin Minerals today and receive 10% off online by using the code OUTSPOKEN10. The code will be valid until August 20.
I'm not going to let anyone talk about me like I'm a piece of garbage. He's trying to be a lad out there in front of all the boys. I don't want a lad. I want a gentleman. Someone that's going to talk about me with a bit of respect.
Now, let's get into our social media pit and peak of the week. So, can you start us off with the pit?
Now, I've been watching this one pretty closely. It was from Molly May, and she's on yet another overseas trip. This time she is in Greece, and she headed over there with her sister and Love Island star Maura as well. And they were supposed to be going on a nice yacht trip where, you know, I think they were going to be sunbaking and taking photos, but it turned pretty disastrous.
The funniest thing is I've been addicted to Below Deck, and I've already watched two series in the last week. So when I saw this pop up on her Instagram, all I could think of was the Below Deck crew, because her sister starts screaming at the crew, like really rudely, like, we want to go back, we want to go back. And they were trying to tell everyone on Instagram how bad the ordeal was. But to me, it just looked like normal kind of being out in the water in
sounds,
a boat.
It sounds like such a first world problem that she's on holiday in Greece and her yacht has gone, you know, her yacht trip's gone a bit astray.
Well, it did sound pretty scary because the boat almost capsized and the
Did it though? Because that's what they said.
Almost, but taking it from me, I have been in Thailand driving through very, very rocky water and it feels like you're hitting through cement when you're going through some of those waves. So it can be really scary. But the driver also didn't speak English.
The driver? Do you mean the captain?
Or the captain. And there were no life jackets on the boat. So it would have been pretty scary.
I'm assuming Tourism Greece, who probably sent the pair, didn't plan on this all happening. Look, great social media coverage for them.
Obviously, it's not ideal if the water's choppy out there, but I don't really have much sympathy for them whilst they're traveling during COVID. As you said, for Molly May, potentially the third time since lockdown has decreased in the UK that she's been traveling.
Well, Tommy was also on a boys' trip.
Oh my gosh.
And the two
serious?
Of them met up. They were reunited after the incident.
Oh, wow. Well, I did enjoy seeing Maura again. For some reason, I do follow her on Instagram, but I never get her stories. So hopefully they start popping back up in my algorithm.
Well, let's move on to the peak. And this is a bit of a controversial one because we all don't agree on this. But my peak has to be Sarah's Day calling out all the haters on her Instagram story. So just in short, she shared an Insta story. She's been sharing lots of Insta stories about her renovations. And something she shared recently was the fact that her $7,000 windows weren't what she wanted. And while that sounds trivial, she does like to share the highs and lows of her renovation. So basically, she shared the fact that these windows weren't what she wanted. And then about 8 hours later, she posted this. I'd say it was kind of a rant, just basically saying how upset she was and how over it she is by being called white privilege all the time. And I, for one, had to agree because I feel like, can we just watch people on Instagram without constantly having to be down their throats?
Yeah, I saw this and I was very conflicted because when I originally saw her going off about these $7,000 windows, I was thinking, ooh, this is not the time to be putting this sort of content out because we're obviously at a stage where people are in stage four lockdown. We've had the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, sort of, she's come under fire for cultural appropriation. So there's a lot of people that aren't happy with her at the moment. And I didn't think it was an appropriate time after everything that's gone on and her being sort of told to educate herself about her privilege for her then to whinge about her windows not being correct.
But the thing is, I get what you're saying, but I also think, I mean, I have followed her journey for, you know, her renovating her house and those windows looked bloody shocking. And the guy who put them in was really rude to her and said, oh, love, I know better. I've been doing it for ages. And the windows looked shit. And she wanted to share not just everything that goes well, but she wanted to share the lows of the renovation. And I just think sometimes people are so nitpicky online.
I think the thing where she went wrong was mentioning the cost of the windows. I think she could have just said some very expensive windows. But at the same time, I kind of see where you're coming from, Amy, because I feel like during this pandemic, it's so hard because I feel like we need some sort of escapism. And I find watching her renovation vlogs a type of escape. And, you know, if we've been following the whole thing, let's see some of the shit stuff happening.
But yeah, I agree. Like, I do love watching it, but I think it's very simple. If you want to discuss it, you just got to say, look, I know I'm in a very privileged position to be having this house renovation and I'm privileged to have this problem. And then say it. I know it's annoying, but
she did address that in her rant. She just said, you know, I'm very lucky.
But you know what? I'm sick of having to have people have to, I've just got to tell you this because I feel like so many people are so oversensitive online. And I can get it. If I was in Melbourne, I'd be thinking, what the hell, you're complaining about these windows. But, you know, as you said, I like to switch off and just watch it. And I just didn't think anything of it. And then I thought, you know, she was going to do a vlog that day about her day. And it put her in such a bad mood that she didn't want to. And she was reading out some of the messages she received where people were saying, oh, you don't deserve Kurt and you don't deserve your baby. And I just thought, has the world gone mad? Well, if you don't like her, don't watch her.
It kind of reminds me of the discussion we were having about Madison Woolley a few weeks ago and whether it was wrong of her to go on all those trips because people did find it a form of escapism. And it kind of is similar to this. I mean, The argument with Madison Woolley is she's actually putting people at harm by traveling around.
Now, it could sound hypocritical because we were talking about hate following a few weeks ago, but I think there's a big difference between sort of watching somebody and getting like sniggering about it. And then there's the next level where you're messaging somebody and saying such hurtful things. Like, just don't message them.
Yeah, I totally think the bullying is going too far online, but I do think it's this balancing act of influencers thinking about what they're putting out there before they do it, putting a few disclaimers out there, because as you said, at the moment, everyone is really sensitive. The world is not what it used to be, and we're all going through difficult things. So just prefacing that your privilege is there before you have a rant about $7,000 windows.
But does that mean every time someone posts now, they're going to have to say, oh, I just want to post about this, you know, this product, or even like, you know, us going, Soph going on her holiday on a boat, does she have to now preface and say, no, I know I'm so privileged because I get to travel? I just think the world's gone a bit mad.
Can I just preface, this isn't a huge yacht that we
No, I know, but I'm just saying it seems boat. Like everyone's got to have a disclaimer because everyone's so oversensitive.
Yeah, but I think
things.
When you've got millions of followers, then you kind of do have to, because you're going to have a huge portion of your audience that is in lockdown
you
in
know
Melbourne.
What? I just think, as I've mentioned before, I think you've just got to be conscious of the text that's going with it. Just don't mention the cost of the windows, and that would have probably been fine.
I think I feel bad that I invited all these people to this huge wedding and flew everyone out. I wasted everyone's time. I wasted everyone's everything, and I feel bad. You don't think I feel bad?
Now let's get into the reality wrap. Now, surprisingly, the first topic does not include The Bachelor. We're actually going back to maths with some interesting revelations.
Yeah, well, last week there was a lot of chat in our group following our episode all about people calling out influencers for doing the wrong thing during COVID. And now it's been revealed that Stacey Hampton from MAFS was reportedly arrested after allegedly failing to comply with a coronavirus order. So basically, she went to Melbourne and went on a lavish shopping trip.
Because she's based in Adelaide, for those who don't know.
Yes. So according to the Daily Mail, Stacey was arrested by South Australian police in May when she returned home to Adelaide. And apparently it was actually her Instagram that was her undoing.
Wow. It's so funny how these social media platforms are catching all these people out.
Yeah. So basically what happened was she posted a photo at Culture Kings and she also posted photos at beauty parlors. But the issue was when she came back to Adelaide, she told police that she was an essential worker. So apparently these are all allegations, by the way, but allegedly she told police she was an essential security worker through her then partner's security business. But police actually said, no, that's not an essential service. So it actually got worse. When she left the airport, police actually followed her and they'd ordered her to go home straight away and to isolate. She went to two different houses to pick her kids up. So now she's actually facing 3 counts of disobeying police order. The craziest thing was, though, her friend, or I suppose ex-friend now, she leaked the WhatsApp conversations between herself and Stacey, and she sent them to the Daily Mail, of course, and some of the messages are so bad. She basically says how, she said, I meant to be self-quarantining for 14 days. I'll be ringing them tomorrow fighting it. If they try to say security is an essential service, I'm not isolating, laugh out loud. ISO ain't stopping me. We have business to do.
What the hell? That is so selfish.
And following these messages getting leaked, she actually put up an Insta story that said snitches get stitches.
Wow, I'm just so glad she's living in South Australia. That's fantastic.
Well, let's get into all the Bachelor chat because, of course, Lockie's series of The Bachelor aired last week. And oh my God, how sensational was the little teaser for the series ahead?
I was so excited because it kind of reminded me of an American Bachelor. Like when they're so torn, I feel like there's always... they always fall in love with two people in America.
Yeah. So for those who haven't seen it, the preview shows Lockie telling two women that he's in love with them. This never happens on the Australian series. I've seen it in on the American series, but never here.
What was worse was him inconsolable standing up there waiting to tell them. One of them that he was breaking up with them.
Well, it is interesting to see him so inconsolable because if the rumors are true, he's meant to be in some kind of pact with Bella. So is it that maybe he is in this pact with Bella, but then he fell in love with one of the other women?
Well, he could have been in a pact and then genuinely fallen in love with someone else on the show.
Well, we mentioned it last week, the So Dramatic podcast, everyone's talking about it, everyone's listening to it. And there was a contestant that came on And a former contestant, Nadine, came on and far out she spilt the tea.
Can I just say, I actually featured on that episode too.
I know.
I was listening to it and I was like, nearly spat out my tea. I was like, that's me. Well, Mum actually texted me saying she got excited. I was like, Mum.
If I'd like to use any other upsets from this episode.
Yeah.
Well, amongst the claims, Nadine also said that producers apparently pump them all with alcohol and there's absolutely no limits. And so we spoke with Mary from Bachelor in Paradise earlier today and we put this question to her. So let's have a listen to what Mary had to say.
I don't drink, but like in Paradise and in The Bachelor, I felt like the production was really looking after the girls because of like, okay, girls, like if you're not gonna have dinner, if you're not gonna like, you're not gonna have dinner before a cocktail party, you're not allowed to drink. You know, they were always there and there was a certain time that the bar would be shut, like at the mansion. And the same thing in Paradise. Okay, we had to, you know, okay, your name and the drink that you got. So they kind of had a control of the people's drinks. So that was my experience. And I've been there twice. So I'm not sure where her source is coming from. But like the ones that I witnessed, the production was pretty much, okay, bar staff in Paradise, name and your drink, and we were not allowed even to get a drink for another person, you know, to make sure they would control the drink. So I have no complaints about production.
I've got to say, when I heard Nadine talking about her experience on The Bachelor, it kind of sounded like she was dirty that she got kicked off early. Now, she did say that it was her choice to leave and that's why she did leave, but they didn't want to. They wanted to go through the motions and act like she had been kicked out. But she seemed so annoyed about the fact that she wasn't selected. She did mention like two or three times that everyone said she was the prettiest on the show.
Yeah, I did feel a little bit awkward when she kept saying that. I felt like saying to her, have you not seen the show Unreal? Because none of these accusations really shocked me that much. I mean, they were juicy and I'd really enjoyed the podcast. But I was like, has she not seen Unreal? Like, this happens every year.
It seemed a bit out of touch when she was complaining about how they had to be locked in a hotel for 5 days. I'm thinking that's a lot of people's reality at the moment who are crossing the borders.
Well, the ratings have actually come out for this week's Bachelor and the numbers are a lot lower than in other series. So people are saying, well, Narenga came out and said that he thinks it's a lack of diversity that's the reason for the ratings being so low.
So is that a lack of diversity with Rangers or with...
Oh, yeah.
Because we can't not talk about that. That was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. And I think it's been talked about a lot. I mean, it's just bizarre behavior.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
Well, we actually put the question to Mary whether she thinks it's a lack of diversity that is actually the issue for this year's Bachelor. And we also asked her what she thought about Lockie and whether she would have stayed if he was the Bachelor. And let's have a listen now.
Like, I didn't watch Survivor, to be honest. Yeah. But I was like, I don't like beards, so he's not my type. So if I was single, I wouldn't apply.
Well, that was going to be my next question, because there's been talk that a lot of girls found out it was him and actually pulled out of the process. Would you have done that if you had been lined up to appear and you heard it was Lockie?
Well, that is, I must say this, like, we never, like, when I applied for my season, we didn't know who he was. It was pretty much going in blind. I feel like if you compare Lockie with Honey Badger, I would totally stay for Lockie, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, Lockie is not that bad. Like, he's not my type, but it's not like he's a horrible person to look at. Come on. You know, tall, dark, and handsome, I would totally shave the beard. That's all for me.
That can go. That's right.
I would try to laser the bad tattoos as well.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that neck one. That can go.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that big one, something in honor, like on his chest. That is so... But, you know, nothing that like a laser couldn't remove.
That's right.
If I was single, of course, if I made it, we could have worked on that.
I feel like Mum and Mary would get on really well talking about tattoos, because our mum always told us if we ever brought anyone home with tattoos, she wouldn't be happy.
Well, the other batchy news is the fact that Kieran and Matt from Bachelor in Paradise have announced that they're going to be taking part in a charity boxing match.
Well, it is all for a good cause. It's raising money for domestic violence against women and men's mental health. But it has come under a bit of criticism, the fact that Matt and Kieran were both accused of not being very nice to women on the Bachelor in Paradise show.
It's an odd charity to pick. I mean, I think it's great that the money will be going there, but it just, I don't know, it doesn't really sit that well with me.
Well, it is because his mum experienced domestic violence, so I think that's great, but it is a bit weird that he's fighting against Matt, who he obviously had a big problem with in Paradise. It almost seems a little bit orchestrated.
Well, it's completely orchestrated.
I mean the drama in Paradise. Well,
what I found a bit off was Clementine Ford commented underneath his post, and she wrote, "Is that because you went on TV and emotionally abused women?" And I just thought that was a bit off, because I know he's been portrayed in a particular way on a TV show for being a dickhead and a player. But I mean, the fact that his mother has gone through something like this and he's actually genuinely trying to raise money for it, I thought that was a bit off.
I think it just proves that we don't really know everyone's situation. And I do feel like it's a bit of a funny one, because we were willing to understand that Abby Chatfield got a bad edit. And I'm not saying that Tim or Kieran got bad edits, but I feel like we've also got to remember that they are producing a television show and bits and pieces are being chopped up. I know it's not an excuse, but I think we've just got to sort of back off a little bit and remember that these are real people.
Well, Alicia made a really good point on the Shameless podcast, and she said that she was the exact same person that she was on The Bachelor when she was painted as a villain, and she was the exact same person on Bachelor in Paradise when everyone loved her. It's just different sides of the personality that was shown. And on Angie's series of The Bachelor, everyone loved Kieran. There's obviously a very lovable side of him, but he's just not a great boyfriend.
Well, you've also got to understand they are characters in a plot. So if the producers want the plot to go a certain way, they're obviously going to show those different sides of their personalities.
Well, just taking away from the seriousness, Jamie Doran has come out and said he wants to fight as well. So
who's he going to fight?
I don't know. Maybe The Bachelor producers, I don't know. So we'll have to wait and see if that actually happens.
Well, he also did elaborate more on his court case against Channel 10. And he mentioned that he's not actually just suing about the way he was portrayed on the show and the way he was edited. In fact, there's more to it. So it's going to be pretty interesting, because it seems like there's a lot of contestants breaking their contracts and coming out and bagging out the show. And I do wonder if we will see changes happening to the show. It seems like people are not liking the experience they're having on it.
I mean, in saying that though, they're then going on Bachelor in Paradise. Like, Jamie was portrayed as a stage 5 clinger and then went on the show again. So,
well, I think we've got to wait to see what he actually accuses them of. That will be really interesting. But I think the only way the show is going to change is if the ratings start dropping off. And we're seeing that with Lockie's series. So maybe next time, like next year, we might actually see someone like Renee, a person of color, actually being named as the Bachelorette or Bachelor.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Please make sure you tag us if you're out and about listening to our podcast. We have been loving seeing where you're listening from, with your dogs or on your walks.
Or with your cats. That's all right. We're big cat lovers here as well.
We do love cats.
And go and join our community, because there's some great conversations going on in there. And just a last big thank you to Esme again for being an amazing sponsor of the show.